morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty. And today is Humpity Hump Day. Chloe and I are on our wild adventures as usual, and we are currently in some part of North Carolina. It's the southern part of North Carolina.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
It would not be a technical difficulty, or it would not be Living and Thriving with Rusty without technical difficulties. The phone number here is 347-205-9443. And again, it's Rusty with Living and Thriving. Chloe and I are in, I think, Fayetteville, North Carolina. We're headed down to our home in Florida to spend a few days cleaning up and cherishing our moments. We are supposed to have Kathleen Chilquist on today. She is a blogger, a cancer thriver, an all-around fabulous goddess woman. I've actually been stalking her like I do all the time. All right. Kathleen, if you can hear me, hang up and call back in. And until then, you guys get to listen to the fabulous opportunity, a place for a sponsor. And I'm feeling like a Happy Meal today, so we'll do the Happy Meal commercial. It's kind of cute.
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. Rusty explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. For more information, go to her site at rustymcdonald.com. Not McDonald like the farmer, or certainly not like the fast food. Rusty McDonald, just what the doctor ordered. Listen to Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty, life coach, radio talk show host, single mom, and blogger.
Hello? Rusty? I don't know if you can hear me. I can't hear you. This is Kathleen, though. I'll call back. Okay. Bye. Can you hear me now? All right, well, this is Rusty with Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I am having technical difficulties today. We are in North Carolina at a Fayetteville or something or another, and it started to hail. It's very quite interesting, the hailstorm that we're experiencing, so maybe that's part of the technical difficulty that I'm having. So feel free to call in at 347-205-9443, and Kathleen Chilquist should be coming on in a few more minutes. I don't know. It's been hard to get her connected to the show. Kathleen, are you there?
Yeah, do you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, yay!
Okay, must have been my headset. I don't know if North Carolina has those crazy laws where you can't drive and have your phone. So I had my headset on. But...
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well,
so
it's a perfect opportunity, Rusty. It's a perfect opportunity, Rusty.
So welcome to Living and Thriving. My daughter and I just recently purchased a house in Florida, and this is the first opportunity that we've had to actually go in and be in the house as homeowners. So we are en route. We have about 545 miles left to go. And
okay.
So we're going to be chatting with you and learning about you and what you do and driving. So
yay.
The GPS background, that's all it is.
Well, tell her I said hi. How old is she?
She is 8, going on 32.
Ah. Mine's almost 7, going on 16.
Yeah, it's amazing. I thought I was so much more naive and sweet, and kids are much more developed now, I think.
Oh, yes. That is for sure.
So give us, I don't know if you got to hear, I did get to stalk you a little bit on, the internet, and found that you're pretty groovy, and we're philosophically very much in great alignment, but the viewers have not been able to stalk you. So, Bio, who are you, and what do you do?
Okay. I am a servant of the Holy Spirit of love. That's what I am. I'm an awakening being, just like you. This guy, and just like everyone who tuned in to listen. And so, and if I'm going to speak in a worldly sense, I'm a mother and a wife, just like you said. And many call me an inspirational blogger. Mastin Kip asked me to be a contributor on his website after I stalked him and hired myself as the daily commenter for over a year. That was pretty funny. I know. I couldn't believe I did that myself. Although it really wasn't me. It was just my heart said, go for it. And so I started commenting, and out of the blue, he said, what would you like to be a contributor? So actually today, it's no coincidence that my blog is featured, called Purpose, Passion, What is the Difference? On his site today. So I'm honored to be on his site as well as on yours.
Very, very cool. And talk to us a little bit about today's blog and where can people find it again?
Oh, on The Daily Love, www.thedailylove.com. And today's blog is really about my love for surfers and how I've always dated a surfer in my life. I'm in California, and
right.
How I just couldn't stand how passionate they were. I mean, they were just, and I just didn't create that kind of passion. I'm a very enthusiastic person, although I had an ex-boyfriend, they say things to us that stick with us. I'm sure you can.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're young and brutal. And he said, because I'm going, when are we going to hang out? Why aren't you spending more time with me? And he's going, you need to find a passion. That's what you need to find. You don't have a passion, Kathleen. And I knew deep down I just wasn't aligned with my heart. And so what I speak about in the blog is that really once we tune into our purpose in life, and everybody's purpose is to choose love and be loved, and it's love. That's the only purpose. So we start aligning
right.
and tap into our heart, and what occurs is the passions and the wisdom of what we're supposed to do bubbles up, and there you have it, and then you start going for it if you're willing. That's the word, willingness, because we can say, oh, I'm supposed to do that, but until we really take action and just go for it, take that leap of faith, and get out of the good opinion of people. I like to call that the goop, or my mentor, actually. She calls it the goo, and I added a P, the goop. So, yeah, and then I added the goo-yam, which is a good opinion of your own mind.
Right.
Because, often we want to meet our own models, how we can appear to society, and that's not going to serve us. We just need to tap into what what, the Holy Spirit of love wants us to say, whatever you want to call it, God, universe, energy. I really don't upset myself with whatever word someone wants to use. I like to say God. It's just my trip. And, yeah, so that's what the blog's about.
Very cool. So you're a wife and you're a mother. And
yes.
So give us, talk to me about your wifely adventures.
Oh, you just went for it, didn't you?
I always do. I'm a redhead.
I know. I said that to my, oh my gosh, that's something. I said that to my mentor. I go, I have a redhead interviewing me. She goes, just get out of the way, Kathleen. No. My husband actually lived in Tampa. Anyway, you know, it's been quite an adventure because, like all of us, I kept going for the guy that just wasn't the right guy for me when I was younger. I went for the commitment phobic surfer that didn't want to get a job, smoked pot all day long, and just that was that. And that's okay. That's what he wants to do. It just wasn't my trip. I wanted to get married, have babies, and the whole white picket fence story is what I thought was going to make me happy. And
right.
Little did I know that once all those things, you know, I created all those things in my life, that it wasn't the key to my happiness at all. And so my husband came along, and I knew him in high school, just from going to parties and not personally. And I always knew he had an eye for me, you know, and I was like, I don't have an eye for you because you're just not my typical type. He's a big guy, and I always went for the real skinny, scrawny type. And
right.
Not scrawny, but yeah, more of a surfer, lanky type. And so when I started dating him, it was like, this is the guy I'm going to marry. I knew it in my heart, although my mind said, wait, this isn't your type. And so I confused myself and lived in limbo a lot of my marriage because he is a conservative and I'm liberal and I'm not that into politics, although there was just a lot of exchanges between us. And I'm thinking, how am I marrying this dude? You know, how am I with him? And his family and the whole bit, it was just Dharma and Greg. And so what's interesting is when I met my mentor, which I'm sure you've read about, Lynn Lofton, she has been surrendered to love for over 35 years, and she is one disciplined lady, let me tell you. Anyway, when I met her, one of the first sessions my husband and I had with her, I mean, we went to her right away, and she is free. She doesn't charge for her counsel. And we looked at her, and she goes, let's talk about the D word and, you know, the divorce. And it was just, we had never even discussed that. And once that was exposed, the D word, everything
yeah.
started just changing from there. Because then it wasn't this, you know, secret between us, are we going to make it? And she said, I'm here to help facilitate for you to either stay in love or leave in love. And she called her first husband, Poppy, her practice husband. And they are closer than ever. He actually was the best man at her second husband's at their wedding. Yeah, just remarkable stuff that love wins. And if someone else wants to join in, which her ex-husband did, he didn't want to leave Cinnamon in any way because she was so loving to him still. She didn't judge him when she left. You know, she asked him if he wanted to come along for this spiritual crazy ride, and he said no, and she moved on. So anyway, with my husband, I did the same thing. I've written some blogs about it. One was an anniversary to remember where I sat down, and he knew the journey that I was taking. I was going back to my heart, similar to, you know, Return to Love, Marianne Williamson, although I hadn't even read that book. I had decided that my ego and choosing that wasn't working for me in my life. I've had many extreme, I would say, challenges, and now I call them opportunities to see as gifts. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so I asked him if he was willing to take this ride with me, and he said yes. And my focus became about me being loving, not what is he doing. And I call it the, you know, the power of one, that oftentimes with relationships we're like, oh, we both need to go to counseling. Oh, we both need to da-da-da. And I am telling you, when one person chooses to do it differently, everything shifts. And either you leave the relationship in love and you create a different situation for yourself, like different form. It takes on a different form. You're obviously not in the same bed with them anymore. Or you stay in love. And my husband and I have created a miracle. We just renewed our vows and beliefs. He surprised me with a whole renewal, a dress and all. I mean, it was just amazing. Yeah, for our 10-year. And it was like saying, yes, I want to be married to you. And I just, and he knew it. We knew what we were doing this time around and what we were saying yes to. And it's, love works, people, whether you stay or whether you don't, it works. So do you have any questions on that? Because I know that's not often talked about, stay in love or lead in love.
Well, what I find interesting, I'm a divorcee, and unfortunately I was on a spiritual path. I call it rusty spiritual in utero time frame. And as I was birthing who I always wanted to be, I was shifting to such an extent that my ex was very much, became more controversial and more agitated and more obstinate, and so we just had to separate because it was very much a war zone. What I find interesting is that I actually have quite a few friends who, like you, live in different, they're married, but and they have a loving, wonderful relationship with their partner, but they live in different houses and they live in different towns, and it just works that way. It works better
for them. No rules.
Can you elaborate as to how? Because it's a kind of new movement.
Yes, it is. And, well, I don't know if it's a new movement. It's just I'm waking up to it. My mentor did it a long time ago. So what it is this is what she told me to do. And it was the day that really, because she said, you know, we all know at a soul's level, whether to leave or stay and how to change form in a relationship. It's just our mind gets in the way, all that ego chatter and the rights and wrongs. And so what she said for me to do, I said, how do I do this? I don't know. And I was in limbo land. And limbo is hell. I mean, it's hell going back and forth. And then I didn't want to be someone, she calls it the endurance contest. I didn't want to be someone like, ooh, we've lasted 50 years and we're miserable. You know, I wasn't interested in that either. So what she said to me is, if you are judging him in any way, even a sliver, even 1%, you're judging yourself and you're not claiming who you really are, which is love. That's who we all are. And when we claim that, we have nothing but love to give. It just starts flopping over. And so what I did was I started, you know, every time I judged them, I was like, oh, you know, and then I looked at where I was judging myself. It didn't have to be in the same situation or same detail, because love actually gets lost in the details. It just needed, where do I judge myself? Well, after a while, I really got tired of sitting, where do I judge myself, and finding all these things and just slowly letting go of the judgments and blessing my heart and seeing that my mind was telling me that I was this or that, and that's not who I really was. Yes, it could be who I was being. I could be not being kind and loving and compassionate, although I now know that's not who I really am, because we are spirits creating this human experience. And when you tap into that truth, your life starts transforming. It just does.
Right.
And our minds want to doubt that, or at least mine did. You know, am I really a spirit? Have any human experience? Blah, blah, blah. And that's when I just tell people to start doubting their doubt. You know, doubt that doubt, because deep down you know we are all one. Everyone knows that, whether they're here to say it or not. And the people that are not, the people that are saying we're not one and you're full of crap, blah, blah, they are teachers. They're ultimately, to me, angels in disguise, saying, how about now? Do you love us now? Do you have compassion for us now? Do you remember that we, too, are equal to you?
Well, and I found recently, because I've been really authentic and real and raw and standing in my own strength, and normally I just bend over and say, okay, fine, just to avoid conflict. And but in the last couple of years, I've been standing very strong in my own strength and not allowing the normal, the people that have been in my life to continue to run me over. And
yes, well, and they can't run you over without your permission.
Right. And so in that process, of course, I'm writing about it in my book, but in that process, I have found that the people that I most cherish and most love that were running me over and the people that I'm standing in my strength with, they're just seasonal people. Seasonal people. I think our minds play this trick that everything is long term and forever and roots. And what I've found through this journey is that most people in your life are seasonal. You have your winter, spring, and summers.
Mm-hmm.
What was that process like for you? Because I'm sure you experienced that as well, as you're shedding off the stuff and becoming real and authentic and pure
yes.
Not judging and not condoning that type of negativity in your life. Like, I just, sometimes
there's
going negative, I walk out of the room.
This is a great, great, great question, because I often don't resonate with most spiritual thought leaders or most people that say, you know, it's a negative environment and get away from it. And I'm not saying go towards it. What I'm saying is if you are being triggered in any way, it is your trigger that you could explore. And I have had so many people that I've been separate from and triggered by. And when I first started going to the class that my mentor teaches, which is called Living Love, I wrote a blog about it, actually, where I was like, hey, I'm detaching with love. I'm you know, yeah, they're awakening beings and all, but I don't need to be around them. And I had an attitude, though, of separateness. And if you are separate in any way from someone, you are separate from your soul. And so it was one of those situations where I learned to play spiritual Aikido. She calls it, with people, where you learn whether to move forward or stay back. And so the people that I was from, I have created miracles with. I mean, it is absolutely mouth-dropping amazing, because I don't pull on the rope with them.
Right.
And when for instance, I was given this example one time, and I loved it. If you go into a Ku Klux Klan member, you know, let's say you go into a situation like that, you're not going to go in going, hey, look at this black guy, he's my best friend. And, you know, if you see the innocence of that Ku Klux Klan member, and you see that they are also a spirit, and you remember that, then you draw their soul to come hither by playing spiritual Aikido with them. Does that mean, so you're not looking at who they're being. It's about distinguishing the doer from the deed. Now, if they're not willing to come hither and come forth in any way, you know, it's not like you're just going to keep knocking down their door. I mean, you're not a Jehovah's Witness. You know what I'm saying? Oh, come on. But I say that because my mom has just returned to Jehovah's Witness, and she's 83 years old. She was Jehovah's Witness before I was even born. And so, anyway, I love her to death, and she and I don't agree, and I honor those differences. And that's the thing, is when we learn to honor the differences and know that everything has spiritual purpose, every single thing is here for our spiritual growth. What we perceive as bad, what we perceive as good, what we perceive as right or wrong, as Rumi the poet said, let's meet between the fields of right and wrong. And when you can do that, that's the sweet spot. That's freedom.
Well, and I find that, and I'm glad you continued on, because what I've found in my own path, and again, I can only speak from my own experience, but and more loving I am towards myself and standing in my own authenticity, the harder the challenges have been, but they've not been drawn out. They've been shorter because I already understand them. Does it make sense? Like
Yes. You move through them and you see it for what it is, although you see them. You know, I am writing a book and about five pathways to ultimate surrender. And the first one, the book's called Power of the Heart. And the first pathway is I welcome the opportunities life offers me to choose love. And these are pathways that my mentor has channeled. And so they're opportunities. And when you see that it's given to you as an opportunity, whether it be cancer, I've had cancer four times. I have a son with developmental challenges, extreme developmental challenges that are in our household, yet not outside. It's not as easy to see from teachers and all that. So that's what made it so challenging. Anyway, when I see all these things as opportunities versus, as I said, challenges, then it's trusting that love wins. The light of love is always stronger than the darkness of fear. That's the fourth pathway. It's stronger. It wins. And so if that person, you know, that you're separate from or triggered by, and then you go through all the inner work of releasing your trigger and going through the pain, because really they're just reminding you of a childhood pain that you haven't moved through. So every person
exactly.
that comes into our life is here to teach us, hey, how about now? And it's a very similar, it might not be the exact experience as a child, although it's the same feeling you get inside. And so
right.
if you do not resist the pain by, you know, all outside substances or any addictions, if you do not resist it and you actually move through it, you look at that person with a whole new heart. Seeing with the eyes of the heart. I mean, you just see them as, again, an angel in disguise. There's the book. This is the book for all of you guys to get, and it will explain this so simply, and it's called The Little Soul in the Sun. Have you read it? By Neil Donald Walsh? Or is it Donald Neil Walsh?
It
Neil Donald Walsh.
Sounds familiar, but I have so many books that I've
yeah, it's
I
a
read.
Children's book. It's a children's book. And it's
but no,
very
I
short.
Think the only one that, like that I've
yeah.
read was the Wayne Dyer's children's book, which was really good.
Okay, I haven't read that one. Although this one changed my life. I mean, this was it. This is what I needed to really help me embrace our life's contract, if you will.
Right.
Our life's journey and knowing that everything is here for us, not against us, that it's in our resistance that we suffer. When we say yes and we just go, bring it on, baby, you know, even, and it's, of course, I don't want it. I'm learning to want what I need for my spiritual growth, although we're not going to always be given what we want. And we're given what we need to, you know, to grow in our consciousness. And when you grow, you realize you're more equal, whether it be a president or a bum on the street. You know, it's like you don't look up or down on anyone. You look at everyone face-to-face, humbled on the ground.
And let's look at you as a child. What kind of kid were you like?
You know, I actually used to see people. Like, I used to I can't believe you're asking this. I haven't even blogged about this, girl. Anyway, I used to actually see people walk into my room, like spirits.
Right.
And I was scared out of my mind. I did not have parents that would ever believe me or understand that or even go there. And my mom was a previous Jehovah's Witness, so that would have been, you know, she did have that programming still in her. And so I was told by a clairvoyant a few years ago that I blocked all that out because I couldn't, I wasn't in a family that would have accepted my psychic abilities.
Right.
And so because of that, I blocked it out, which I know has something to do with having eye cancer four times. And slowly, I was in a very controlled environment. And, you know, my dad grew up in the Depression. He's from Ireland. And he's a worrier and all that. And that was loving to him. Although growing up, I just wanted to be who he wanted me to be, whether that be playing the piano, playing tennis. And my mom was more passive, acquiesced to him. So it was just like, well, who does he say is the best kind of person to be?
Right.
And it was a dance between being myself and being what him, society, teachers. And so I became what I like to call a go-along to get-along gal. How do I function in this society, you know, and slowly and surely all those abilities left. Although I always knew deep down that I was supposed to be doing something. You know, I'm supposed to be doing something in this world. I thought I was supposed to be a rock star or an actress. That's one of the reasons I'm singing on my Walk and Talk Peace train. I don't know if you've seen that on Facebook right now. I'm finally singing to the world, whether I have the worst voice or not, making that dream come true. So it was – so just when I – when I graduated from college, my parents picked my profession, and I went along with it. I am a dental hygienist, and that's what I practice, and it just was so not me, although I'm very good at it, and I know I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going through that now as I'm shifting. I went through school, and right when I graduated from school, I graduated from UCSF. I was like, I'm free from my parents, free to live my own life. I'm making my own money. You know, they're not paying for me anymore. And 6 months out of graduating, I got eye cancer. And so that.
Let's take a step. Let's step onto that and just kind of expand a little bit. So you were very much letting go of control of who you were throughout your childhood. This is what I'm hearing. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So you kind of let go of who you were as a child. You felt it appropriate for whatever reason, not a judgment in any way, shape, or form, because we've all done stuff. It's a part of our growth. But you know, you really relied on your father's opinion to shape who you were, even though there was an inner struggle to be something else. So no wonder you're totally and. You know, no wonder you were totally attracted to surfers, because that whole culture, that whole subculture, they're just very free.
Yes,
so you're seeing, you were attracted to something that is so totally and completely free. It's not good for you. I mean, I love tacos. Not good for me. If I eat them all the time, I would be, my inner fat lady would just be, you know, outer fat lady too. but,
I did not expect
that.
That was funny.
Oh, I have an inner fat lady. I have an inner chocoholic and inner sexaholic. You know, we all have these inners, but that's a different show. So that totally makes sense. But with all of the emotions that you suppress throughout your life and having this, you know, forcible gifts. I think we're all gifted, but some are
absolutely
more open and available than others. And I think having that gift as well was very suppressive. And I'm a huge believer. And again, I've had pre-cancerous cells on my cervix four times. And understanding, you know, Reiki a little bit, understanding the chakras, it's the root chakra, that's mother issues, you know, which makes sense in my history. But
interesting, I had dysplasia when I was 18. I never count that, but I did have that too.
What?
I had dysplasia. I mean, it didn't get to cervical. It just, dysplasia,
yeah.
They call it.
Yep.
Yeah, when I was 18 and I had cryotherapy. But I did have the pre-cancer at 18 in that way as well.
Yeah, isn't that amazing, though? So my first one, the dysplasia, like you, they don't call it that anymore, but I had the cryogenics as well, and I was 14.
Oh, my gosh.
But what the point I'm trying to make is all that suppression and all of that longing to be something, but I it's totally subconscious, don't you think?
Completely. I mean, that's why I call people, you know, I call us all awakening beings, because we're all just waking up in our own timetable, and some never wake up, because I truly believe some people are, I don't believe, I know, people are here to wear the black hat, you know, to help us be light workers in this world. They're a light worker too. It's just they don't look that way. They're wearing the black hat and they're going, okay, I'm going to be the one that's going to just test you to your core. And that's been the trick. That's been the trick, to really honor that role.
I think it's so fascinating when you actually sit back and you observe individuals. We're such beautiful walking contradictions. We're such a delicious species. And when you look at the controversies, the self-induced controversies that I am a true believer and my, you know, more strict religious friends have a few choice words for me when I say this, genuinely believe that we write a script before we come here. And then as we're developing, all we're just pure love. And that's all that God sends out is pure love. So whoever the characters are that we add, I mean, I added some crazy-ass characters to my script. I tell you, Dexter.
So did I. Mirror on that.
You know, but, like, if you really sit back and look at all the characters you've added in your life, and when I'm coaching and I meet other people's characters that they've added in their life and included in their life, it's really a fascinating journey.
Very.
It's fascinating.
I call it Earth School. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I love it. Or, you know, the shaman I went to said, you know, a theater. And I love that, too. A theater in life. You know, just like what Shakespeare said, we're mere actors on a stage, each part playing different roles, something like that. And when you look at it that way, you all step off the stage after you die, and you're going, oh, my gosh, you know, it just, it makes life so much more light, and you just don't take yourself so seriously. And I've been very serious.
Well, and it was funny because, I turned 380 last week, and for the first 300 years of my life, I really sucked into the emotional negativity, sadness, and owned that as what life really is. And when I felt really, really sick after I had my daughter, it dawned on me that was it. I'm dying. They said I had 72 hours to live, and that's it. So I don't care anymore. And that was a pivotal moment for me, and I want to get to your cosmic 2x4, but that was a huge cosmic 2x4 for me because I knew that no matter what was going to happen, if I died in 72 hours, really didn't matter.
Uh-huh.
All of that stuff didn't matter. So if I had an opportunity to live, what would I do with that? And that's when I looked at my daughter and I said, we're making some changes, girl. She's only 6 weeks old, so she had no idea. But we made some changes, and our journey has just been up and up and up since. So talk to us a little bit about your cosmic 2x4, because I think I'm so stubborn that it really has to be a 2x4 sometimes.
Oh, for me it did. And, you know, it doesn't have to be for everyone. That is a message I'd like. Because sometimes it seems like all the people that are just down on the ground are the ones that do this work. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, you can, everyone has a different tolerance to suffering. They do.
Right.
And I was one stubborn gal. I mean, I had cancer 4 times. And that didn't do it. It really took my son because he was diagnosed like with intermittent explosive disorder. So he would go in these rages where I have written about him seeing it. I imagine the Chucky doll coming at me. And it's a long story with the Chucky thing. But anyway, he would come at us and he wouldn't stop. He was relentless. And when he'd go to school or do other things, he was fine. So teachers and everyone looked at me like, what are you talking about? You just need to get a hold of him, you know, that kind of thing. And so I had eye cancer for my 4th time. I have a patch on my eye. My husband travels out of town, and he's checked out just more on the work focus aspect in life. And I'm just going, oh, what do I do? And my son's chasing me and hitting, sitting, ripping buttons off my shirt. You know, while most parents are at the park having little play dates, I'm in an absolute horror house. You know, it's just terrible. And I got on my knees one day, and I just said, Mother Mary, come to me. And I wasn't even Catholic. Although I did go to Catholic church sometimes growing up because my dad used to be Catholic. And I just said, Mother Mary, and I just prayed, and 1 week later, my mentor showed up at the dental office that I worked at, and I started talking, going, oh, you know, because I've been in therapy, I've been going to a 12-step program called Al-Anon. I was the only one in there who didn't have an alcoholic in my life, but my dad's dad was an alcoholic, and I know that trickles down, if you will. So I was doing that, and I really liked it, and it really resonated with me. And then Cinnamon was just like even a bigger step for me in my life, and I took her teachings on, and it's just been, we do Sundays with Cinnamon where I actually interview her every week. I don't know if you've noticed that, a vlog I do. So that's it's funny, someone interviewing me. So I'm in teacher training with her, and
very cool.
It's intense. It's an intense teacher training. And so she's helping me just continually step aside from ego Kathleen and let love just flow through.
Very cool. So, guys, you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I am in, I believe, South Carolina now. It's rainy. It's hailing. It's cuddly, cozy. Unfortunately, you can't cuddle and be cozy while you're driving. And Chloe's behind me with Miss Bella, the star of our lives, our new little puppy. And we're just cruising along, headed down to sunny Sunshine State and dip our feet in some beautiful warm water. We left snow behind. Oh. My grief, don't feel bad about that. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty. And I am so pleased to have Kathleen on the line. She's a lover, a cancer thriver, and mother and a wife and a goddess and just a star, and she's sharing her story with us. Kathleen, can you do me a huge favor and give yourself a shameless plug?
A shameless hug. I got it. Oh, it's big. I'll breathe in while I'm at it. Tell Chloe to give herself one too.
Huh?
You can give yourself a half one, and Chloe can give herself a good one.
Absolutely. But this is where you have an opportunity to shamelessly plug yourself in the sense of, where do we find you? How do we get a hold of you? If we want to learn more about you and learn more about your story and how you yourself are evolving as a teacher and a spiritual being, where do we find you?
Okay, so my website is www.kathleen, K-A-P-H-L-E-E-N, Chelquist, C-H-E-L-Q-U-I-S-T.com. So, KathleenChelquist.com. You can find me on the Contributor on the Daily Love. And I also have Twitter at Kathleen Chalkwith. I'm on Facebook. I'm everywhere. You Google Kathleen Chalkwith and I'm everywhere. I have two Facebooks. One is my Facebook site is called Are You Here, Kathleen? It's Me, God. Taking off the Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret.
Yep.
Remember that book? Well, it was actually published in 1970, the year I was born. And so I grew up with Margaret, and that was my prayer, you know, Are You There, God?
Right.
It's me, Kathleen. Because I didn't have parents that raised me in any religion. And so now it's, you know, Are You Here? Because God is here just waiting for us to claim the love, claim it, receive it. It's not out there. It's just in us. It's everywhere. It's not something to reach out to. It's to claim. So that's one. And then my other Facebook site is Kathleen Chalkwith, parentheses, love. So I would love to hear from everybody, and I am just so grateful, Leslie, that you found me and asked me to speak today. I feel like we're just friends chit-chatting on the phone. I love it.
That's how it is. I think it's I think individuals, when they're comfortable, are more open than having some sort of I don't even know how to explain the experience, but I'm as well a guest on TV and various radio shows, and the shows that are very contrite and scripted, I don't feel that I give enough of who I am on an authentic level. So you and I were just chilling on the couch having a cup of tea today.
I love it. And if people could look at Sundays with Cinnamon, it's just the same way. It's just us. It's on YouTube. Yeah, I'm on Instagram, I'm everywhere, but yeah, that was taken off Tuesdays with Maury. I have my good, you know, my Good Morning Awakening beans every morning. I got that from Good Morning Vietnam. I don't know, all these things are, you know, I'm all about not reinventing the wheel. I'm just, let's stretch it a little. And I would love, Leslie, if you wanted to join our Walk and Talk Peace Train, you know, we're just walking and talking, and then I'm doing my best to get people from around the world to join in and just show me who they are and their house, their favorite things. They want to teach something about peace. That's great, too. It's just an opportunity to see that we are all awakening beings here to claim who we really are and then to swap that on over to everyone. And hopefully leave this place a better place than we found it.
Well, I think that's our job. And it's fun to watch. I was interviewed on a show last night, Got Controversy, also a blog talk radio, and the fella just, Kayshawn, tweet interviewer. But we had a great conversation in regards to when you really, really get real. When you get real with yourself, you really understand what love is and what we're supposed to be doing on this planet, which is not what the majority of us are taught to do on this planet. And the more I love hosting this radio show. It was a divine tap on the head, literally in my sleep. I woke up gasping, I'm doing a radio show. Okay, how do we do this? And it's grown by leaps and bounds, but what's phenomenal is I am blessed to have people from all over the world that are like-minded that get to share their story on the show, like you, which allows, I have a young man from Switzerland coming on in 2 weeks, and a young woman, who's her husband that wrote in, but she's a blogger as well, and she has this whole process of going through her pain and her trauma and how she blossomed out of that. And it's such a blessing to be able to share those stories, isn't it?
Oh, so much so. And you are such a blessing to be doing that and giving people that aren't, you know, out there a platform, because there are so many light workers in this world
yeah.
that we just don't know about. And so I honor you for that because you're just following your heart. I mean, I don't have a credential to my name, and I don't even have a book published yet. I'm actually in the process of entering my book into the Hay House publishers
Yay.
Contest. So, yeah, in the next 2 months, it's due April 7th, and Marianne Williamson spoke in San Francisco, you know, at the conference, and she said, you cannot write about the crucifixion without the resurrection. And I
right.
have resurrected. I am creating peace in spite of my challenges, and I do have some. It's not about being happy all the time. And it's just, to me, it's about just being level and then, you know, going up and excited. And our adrenals can't stay up there all the time. It's just not going down to the ground anymore, you know, just accepting what is, realizing it's in, yeah. Sorry?
Well, and I wouldn't say that you don't have any credentials because you absolutely do.
I have my life. And that's a big one.
No, you're a goddess, you're a light worker, you're a mother, you're a wife. These are all credentials, believe it or not. And you are an author because you've been blogging longer than I have, for sure.
You know, it's interesting, Leslie, that you keep calling me a goddess. I love that because I actually am an oracle card reader, too. And someone told me, a clairvoyant told me that I was a goddess in a past life giving readings to a woman's shelter. So I thought that
Absolutely.
Was cute that you said that.
I teach self-defense at the Battered Women's Shelters. I'm a warrior.
That's so great. I used some warrior things, too, that I paralleled.
I think that we wrap our heads around this preconception that we have to have labels or titles that are indicative of some sort of formal training outside of what we actually are trained in, which is living and breathing. And if we were, as humans, to take a step back and understand that we're just spirits having a human experience and life is our university, I think we'd lighten up a whole lot. And I think greed would kind of, you know, taper down because we would really come to an understanding that that stuff's not important and you can't take it to the grave.
Definitely.
But that's my theory. You do know.
In your heart, you know. And so just claim that because, you know, speaking with authority on that is just our ego goes, oh, we don't want anyone to go, how dare you speak with that. And you know that. I mean, I knew when I was a little girl what I was supposed to be doing. It was just my program. You know, I knew my contract. It just, I let my mind take over. And, you know, of course, it was hurtful. So.
Well, one of the things that I learned early on in life is that if I always knew I was going to teach in some form. And what I realized is I am a terrible teacher if I give away the answer. So if the student thinks that I don't know, they actually have to think about the answer. So I always say, I don't know. So it's kind of a way of probing and prodding and trying to get that person to be individual and think out loud. And that's the whole coaching
Definitely.
Process.
I agree with not giving answers to people. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Because it's only when they pull it up that they're like, yes.
Right. And they're not going to learn, just like you didn't learn how to survive the fourth time with eye cancer and you didn't learn how to, if you didn't go through that experience and walk a mile in that shoe, you really wouldn't understand or learn it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely something to be experienced. And yeah, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear.
That's right. So we have about 6 minutes left to the show and I want to offer you two opportunities. One is I want you to shamelessly plug yourself again. I want people to be able to find you and reach out. The show went by really incredibly fast, so I didn't get to ask you all the things that I wanted to ask you, and I'd like to invite you back on. I wanted to give you my famous question, which some people find hard, others don't. And it's what is the one thing that you want over 200,000 people internationally that listen to this show to take away from today? What lesson, what word, what sentence?
I want people to start distinguishing the doer from the deed and to claim their own innocence. And when they stop judging themselves and love themselves, not beat themselves up to a higher consciousness, but when they start loving themselves, they will see the innocence in others. It's like you have to stop judging yourself. You've got to stop with the guilt and all that. And when and if you are creating the guilt and all that, just breathe into it, relax, know it's a part of that human game, and you can only give what you've got. You can only give what you've got, folks. So love yourself, and then you will see the innocence of others and hopefully help them, help the so-called bully to come hither. Because if you keep focusing on the bully aspects and who those people are being in life, that only feeds it. So feed the innocence in people. Feed the light.
So where do they find
you? Oh, and they find me again, www.kathleenchelquist.com. My website's, or my Facebook's, Are You Here, Kathleen, It's Me, God. Also Facebook, Kathleen Chelquist, parentheses love. YouTube me, Kathleen Chelquist, Sundays with Cinnamon. I'm on the Daily Love. Go on to the contributor section. Kathleen Chelquist, I got my arms up. It's right before I was diagnosed with cancer again. Hello?
Hi, I'm here.
Okay, and so you'll find me there and Instagram, Kath, I think it is, Chelquist, Twitter. I'm everywhere. You just plug in Kathleen Chelquist on Google and you're sure to find me. And I'm so grateful again, Rusty. This was just so fun, and I'd love to speak with you again. I'd be honored.
Absolutely. We barely scratched the surface with your story because you do have a beautiful story, and I want to share more. What is your – we have about 2 minutes left, so I'm going to open up the floor to anything that you want to talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, I would love to talk about a little bit about my book.
Okay, go for it.
Because that's what I'm doing, and it's called – Power of the Heart. And it offers 5 simple pathways to ultimate surrender in helping the reader tap into the wisdom of their heart to create freedom in their lives. And so I give my personal story. It's going to be tons of my blogs, all redone and cleaned up, so people can mirror my life and see that life is simple. If we start looking at it in a simple way, choose love, choose fear. You're going to live on the circle of fear, or you're going to live on the circle of love. And going through these pathways, if you take them on, your life will change, although you have to be willing to welcome opportunities to choose love. See that addictions are the only cause of suffering, no exceptions. And what I call an addiction or an addictive demand is wanting something to be different than it is. So when you're gripping on to something in life, I want my husband to stop watching TV, even something as simple as that. It's your demand. It's your addiction. Up-level it to a preference. Your life will unfold. Remember that the light of love is stronger than the darkness of fear, and that the power of the heart unlocks all these pathways. And so when you memorize the pathways that I give in the book, which were channeled by my mentor, Cinnamon Lofton, when you do this, you're going to create peace in spite of it all. You will. You'll just see that it's all a theater. It's all Earth School, baby. That's all it is. And so,
very cool.
Yeah. And just, have fun with it as much as you can.
So I am grateful to have been able to share this ride with you on this rainy, beautiful day in South North somewhere Carolina, something Carolina. And I look forward to having you on the show again because I want to scratch a little bit more into who you are and why you do what you do and what inspires you. So namaste, many blessings. You are a beautiful and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Love you, all. Thanks, Rusty. Bye.
All right. All right, so that was fabulous Kathleen Chelquest. She is a goddess, and if you've ever seen the TV show Saving Grace, she has that kind of cute, blonde, funky attitude, and it just resonates with me. Hopefully she doesn't send me hate mail. She might not like that character, but it was a good show. Anyway, I wanted to wind down. I can't tell you who this Sunday's guest is because I'm driving and I'm not in front of my computer, which is a good thing. But definitely tune in to Living and Thriving Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm going to have somebody fabulous on, so just mark it on your calendar and remind yourself because you don't want to miss a show. We've had incredible guests, and we're booked for the entire year. That has to say something about this show. How blessed am I, and how much do I love you for joining me? So, as always, you are beautiful. You mean the world to me. I'm so grateful we get to walk this journey together, hand in hand, arm in arm, and heart in heart. And until next time, living and thriving with Rusty. Talk to you Sunday.